I want to speak to you today about something I haven't spoken about in over 2 years. And I don't speak a lot about tithing, you know that, but today I am speaking about that again, simply because it's been over 2 years, so I figured it was just time to answer some questions again. You know, I get some questions all the time. Matter of fact, after the first service, I even got some comments. I got comments like, and I'm not going to tell you their names, but I got comments like, you know what, Pastor, I don't agree with you. That's okay. Not everybody agrees with me in a lot of things. But today I'm going to say what God has put on my heart. And then there's people that said, you know what, Jim, you're talking right to me, weren't you? No, I wasn't talking right to you. I was just talking in general terms. And you know, it's been over 2 years. Who remembers the last time I spoke about tithing? It's been over 2 years, I'll give you that clue. Nobody, see? So it's okay. I'll talk about it again. You didn't know what I said last time anyway. So we're going to talk about what does it mean? What did it mean in the Old Testament? What does it say in the New Testament? What does it mean to me today? And somebody gave me a little story this week, and this is a good analogy, I think, although, you know, I realize that not everybody agrees completely from the Old Testament concept of 10% first fruits giving has carried over to New Testament 10% first fruits giving. I realize not everybody agrees on that and not everybody on the same page with that. Okay, be that as it may, let me tell you this little story that helps clear things up a little bit, I think at least. This story I was given a couple of weeks ago by an author that I know you would know, but I just I've set aside and I don't remember the author, but he said when he was a little boy of 3 or 4 years old, his parents were going to give him some money. They were going to ask him to do some things, they were going to ask him to be responsible, and they were going to give him in return some money. And so they got a simple little dime out for this little boy. He was just a little fella, maybe 4 or 5 years old, 4, 5, 6 years old. And so they bring out a simple dime, they lay it on the table, and they said, Sonny, I don't remember his name. They said, Sonny, here's what we're going to pay you for your helping us. But we believe, as God has blessed us, we take some of this then and we give it to God. Yeah, I can understand all that. He knew all about that. And so they took the dime, they set aside, and they laid out 10 pennies. And they said, these 10 pennies are the same as what we'll give you in this little dime. Do you see, Sonny, in these 10 pennies, what part of these will go to God? And he already knew, because of Mom and Dad's teaching, he slipped aside 1 penny, and he said, this is God's part. Because, you know, the Old Testament does talk about the tithe a whole lot, and the tithe simply means 10%. And so the little fella slipped this 1 penny apart. He had 9 over here. He had 1 over here. And they said to him, Sonny, what are you going to do with the 1 penny? I'm going to give it to God because God gets that part of what I get. And so he went on through life remembering this, and he became an author, a Christian author, and he became well known and stuff. And he was reaping the benefits of life, so to speak. And one day at Christmas time, he got a pretty nice check. It was around $10,000. And he sat down at the table, as he had for all of his income over all of these years, and he began to write out this check for 10% of that, what is, I think it was $10,000, we'll say it was $10,000. He began to write this out, and the flash went through his mind, and the adversary, or whatever, came to him and said, you know what, that's a lot of money. Are you sure you want to write that much out? And then the next thought came to him, was from God, that said, Sonny, or whatever his name was, it's only 1 penny of a dime. And so he wrote out the check for $1,000 to the church. And so that's just a simple little illustration, but it's an illustration to help us understand of what the Old Testament tithe talked about that. And so I want to give us a few verses from the Old Testament. I want to bring it to the New and address the attitude of giving. And I want to pull it all together just to answer some questions here today. And you know what? I realize sometimes I've heard people say, you know what, Jim, you never talk about money. Well, I believe that's between you and God, for starters. But I do believe the Bible has something to say about that. So that's what I want to talk about. And I also realize that sometimes talking about the tithe is sometimes about like taking cough syrup. You don't like to do that too good either, but we do it. And so we're going to talk about tithe today just for our information and just be aware and answer some of these questions that I have been asked over the last months or so. So let me begin in Genesis 28:22. If you have your Bibles or you want to watch it on the big screen, Let me give you a couple, three Old Testament scenarios, then we'll move it to the New Testament and see what it has to say also. Genesis 28, 22, the scenario is this. Jacob is leaving home. You remember Abraham, Isaac, you remember the twins, Jacob and Esau, battle about about a birthright, and Jacob eventually left his home, going to Uncle Laban's to find a wife. He's en route, away from home. He encounters God. And this is what verse 22 of Genesis 28 says, "And this stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house, and all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." Now, envision, if you will, the Old Testament times and what they had, and so on. And let me say to you, I'm very, very sure of this. When they are talking about 10% giving of that time, of that stuff, it was 10% of the gross versus the net. Those of you that get a check, you know what I'm talking about. There's the gross. Then Uncle Sam gets some, and somebody else gets some, and somebody else does. And then there's the net. And there's this debate in circles all the time. Jim, do I tithe on the gross or the net? All I'm going to say to you today is this clearly was the gross in the Old Testament. I'll leave the rest up to you and the Lord. This was Jacob's vow to God on his way over to his uncle's place to see if he could find himself a new bride and so on. You know that story. But he committed as he encountered God, "I'll give 10% of everything to you." This was not the first time in the Bible that the 10% tithe had been talked about. We see it also in Genesis 14. When Abram, you remember Abram and his nephew Lot were in the new land, and Abram had to go rescue Lot from the five kings. They'd taken away Lot and the folks from the plains there, and Abram went and rescued them all back. He brought all the spoil back, and you can read in Genesis 14, you will see he encountered the priest of God Most High, Melchizedek. That's what the Bible calls it. And the Bible says he gave to him, the priest of God Most High, Melchizedek. Abram came back, this is Genesis 14, very early in the Bible, and he gave back to him 10% of everything that he had took from defeating the other kings. And so this 10% idea is established very, very early. The Old Testament talks about tithing of corn, tithing of cattle, tithing of wine, tithing of land, tithing of holy things, and on, tithing of first fruits, and so on. Leviticus 27:30 says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord." And so the Old Testament is really quite clear about teaching that 10% belong to God. So what does it mean to tithe? It simply meant everything that I receive, everything, whether it's from the grapevines or whether from my sheep or cattle or whether it's from my produce or anything else, everything, 10% goes back to God. That was the instruction. And then, of course, we get on to Malachi 3, which is hundreds of years later, in fact, 1,000 years plus later. And we see again God ministering to the people in Malachi's time. I read these verses to you a couple of years ago. These are the ones we put a lot of emphasis on. And I just want to remind us of that again and tell you this to begin with. I believe they are relevant for today. Now, whether I subscribe to the 10% tithe in the New Testament or not, I believe Malachi's words are relevant for today. And I'll leave that at that. Here's what it says. Malachi 3, beginning at verse 8. "Will a man rob God? Yet," God is speaking now, "you have robbed me. But you say, in what ways have we robbed you?" And the answer comes back, "in tithes and offerings." Look at what he says in verse 9. "You are cursed." He's talking about the nation of Israel. "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation." And so certainly there was probably people within the nation, as there is today, that have set aside their first fruits giving, or their hilarious giving, or their sacrificial giving. Certainly there are people that do that today. But as a nation, we fall into the same category that Israel fell into in that time. We have not given to God what His due is. We're no different. And I asked the earlier service this morning, have you heard, read, or otherwise been informed of the nation's giving in America? Do you know what our nation's giving is in percentage? We're talking about 10% in the Old Testament tithe here. Any ideas what today's giving is from Americans? Anybody? It's between 2 and 3%. And so this is why I believe this is relevant for today. We have to maybe decide, do I give sacrificially? Do I give out of a cheerful heart? Do I give the 10%? But we've got to decide something to give back to God, and recognizing it's all His anyway. But He said to them clearly, you are cursed now, Israel, with a curse because you have robbed from Me. And we have robbed from Him, He says, by not giving to Him His due. Can we just be frank for a moment? Where does it all come from anyway? Where do the blessings of life all come from anyway? Do we have this notion that we have gained all this by our might? By our sweat? By our hard work? Sometimes I think we do. Sometimes I think I was there. But look what I have done. But God, I've worked hard to do all this. I've done a couple, three jobs at a time for 2 decades. And sometimes we get this notion that says, but look at what I have done, and really the blessing, where do the blessings come from to begin with? We do know, don't we? They come from God. If He has given you the wherewithal to work hard and be blessed, praise God. If He has given you the wherewithal to make a lot of money, praise God. If He has blessed you with family or things or opportunities or responsibilities or whatever it is, praise God. They come from Him in the first place. He has blessed us. He has given to us. He has brought us through. Are we not the most blessed nation on earth? We are. And so I'm mindful of these verses here in Malachi. When God said to Israel, you're cursed with a curse because you have robbed from Me. In other words, you have not given to Me what is My due. I've given you all this, and I've said, you only got to give Me 10% of it, and you're not doing it. And He goes on to say this, and I love these verses, these next two that follow. Bring all the tithes into the storehouses, that there may be food in My house. You see, there was a purpose for the tithe. There still is. Bring them all in so that it may benefit somebody else in another place at another time, perhaps even yourself at some point. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in My house, and try Me now and see. Test Me, some of your translations say. Test Me on this and see. God is laying out a challenge to humanity to say simply, check it out. I will be faithful in this, God says. Try Me now and see, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. This is Malachi. This is late in the New Testament. This is 400 years before Christ. But it's 1,000 years after these other people talked, Moses talked about it, 1,500 years after Abram. And yet God is still telling His people, check it out. If you will be faithful to Me in the 10%, watch how I will take care of you. Have you experienced that, brothers and sisters? I have. Not always, because I wasn't always faithful. But I have, and I have seen some of you receive the blessings from God. Checks show up in the mail. Cars run longer. Family, kids don't get as sick as often. Why? Because you have been faithful in the little things. You have been faithful in the tithe. I don't believe that standard has changed. Maybe I'm wrong. even though it's written in the Old Testament. But I believe God is still saying to His people, if you will be faithful to me in this, watch how I can take care of you. Amen? I believe the God that wrote this to Malachi 400 years before Christ is saying that to His people today. Bring them all to me. Bring the tithes all in so that there will be a plenty, and watch how I will take care of you. I believe that promise is relevant for today, and I believe that it's a really simple thing. He's called upon us for the tithe or the sacrificial or the hilarious giving, whatever you want to call it, so that He might guide us and lead us and show us He is God. I believe this text alone should be able to answer the thought process that says, and I was there once, I told you that 2 years ago, I cannot afford to tithe. I believe this verse answers that. I believe it does. And so let me just say that when we have the mind frame and the mindset, I don't have enough left to pay God His due, maybe, just maybe, I'm not condemning or suggesting you change anything, but maybe as we lay out the bills and we lay out the income or whatever it is we have, we give God first instead of last. Because maybe, according to Scripture here, if we give of the first fruits of what He has given to us, whatever that is you and God have prearranged, if it's 10% or whatever, maybe if we laid them all out here and set aside God's portion first, maybe watch the King of Kings and Lord of Lords take care of the rest. I have seen it happen. I have seen it happen in my life, and I know it has happened in some of yours. Let me go to the New Testament for two quick verses, two quick places. One verse in Matthew says this: no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Let me throw something out for you that may irritate you, maybe tingle your ears. You may have comments for me afterwards. I've already got a few. This is not from another commentator. This is from me. And so that's why you can tingle my ears back if you want. If we cannot tithe, something, and I would prescribe to myself it is 10% at least, then money controls me. You hear what I'm saying? If I have laid my bills all out there, either I am going to tithe and give back to the Almighty God what is His in the first place, or I'm going to write them all out, and if there's anything left, He might get some. Which one leads me? And so I suggest to Jim, I had to go through this a few years back, going to lay it all out here, and we're going to give to God what is God's and watch Him help us with the rest. And so I submit to you that if we cannot set aside God's portion first, then money is controlling what we do. And that's precisely what Jesus said. You cannot serve God and money at the same time. Yes, God will bless you. He has blessed many of you with good jobs. I realize there's some laid off folks today here. God knows that. But He has blessed us in America. He has blessed us with all kinds of blessings and abilities. He has blessed us immeasurably. And He's just saying, serve me and watch me take care of you when we really get faithful. And finally, let's go to 2 Corinthians 9, look at some verses there, and talk about the attitude of giving. The attitude of giving that Paul addresses to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians 9, beginning at verse 6. But I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. We can understand that concept, can't we? I give little, I get little. I give much, I get much. That's a fairly simple concept, isn't it? It's just like planting the soil. I put two corn kernels in the whole row, I ain't going to get much. I put a whole bunch of corn kernels in a row, and I'm going to get a little more. That's a simple enough principle, isn't it, for us to understand? He goes on to say, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. For God loves a cheerful giver. He loves it when we come to Him and say, God, I am going to give out my tithe or whatever it is you have purposed in your heart. It says that here. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. And I give it willingly. I almost give it, can I say, joyfully? Because God has blessed me, and oh, I am so thankful that He has blessed me, and I've got something to give back. Praise be to God. God loves a cheerful giver, the Word says. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things. That just says the same thing Malachi did. When we're faithful to Him, He wants to take care of us. You say, Jim, I don't see nothing about no 10% mentioned here either. I understand that argument. But I'll tell you what God has put on Jim's heart for Jim and Sherry personally. It must be a minimum of 10%. That's what He's put on my heart. Of the gross for Jim and Sherry. That's what He's put on my heart. That may be not what He's put on your heart, but that's what He's put on my heart. And He's quite simply saying, what kind of an attitude do we have at giving back to God, simply knowing, you know what? He's given it to me in the first place. He's the one that's blessed me with it in the first place. And so very quickly, let me look at these verses in just summary. Verse 6 quite simply says, be stingy, get little. Be generous, get plenty. That's what it says. This is New Testament, by the way. Verse 7, give out of cheerfulness. I'm glad to give unto the Lord because He has blessed me so much. I don't deserve it all. I'm glad to give. Verse 8, be blessed by giving generously is what the verse said. Be blessed by giving generously. Verse 12, supply the needs of the saints. As we give, it supplies a need for others, maybe in the community, maybe in the church, maybe missionaries, maybe whatever it is for the kingdom of God. Verse 13, it brings glory to God. Can I ask you, how do you think God feels when we give Him little, what's left over? Or we give Him resenting, we have to give 10%? How do you think God feels about that? You know what I think? I think He says, Jim, keep it. If that's your attitude, I have to give 10% again, or I'm not giving willfully. Remember what it said there in verse 7? So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, not because I have to. That crazy preacher told me I had to. I think if we come with our giving in that kind of an attitude, I think God is saying, keep it. Keep it, Jim. I don't need it. You know what? He don't need my 10%. He don't need yours either. The God who created the universe doesn't need my money. He can do it without me. And He will do it without me. But He wants us to give back to Him. That's the principle. He has blessed us. He has given to us. And in return, be a blessing to others by giving 10% back to Him. The person, this statement is not original with me, but I believe it's valid. The person who dedicates his or her money to God is dedicating themselves. The fruit of their time, the fruit of their talents, their energies. The person who fails to dedicate their money has not dedicated themselves to God. It's a very simple principle from Matthew 6:24. We cannot serve both. God will bless you with money, no question about that. We live in America. He's blessed us with money, okay? And I'm not saying you can't have any money. I'm saying that God is the one that has blessed us with. Somehow we get this notion that I'm the one that's worked so hard, and I'm the one that's got all these things going for me, and I'm the one that deserves all this because of this, that, and the other thing. And really, it's God's blessing on us in the first place. So let me conclude with this. Are we asking the right question when we ask ourselves, how much should I give, O Lord? Is that the right question we ask? We need to ask ourselves, or should we be asking how much of all the things that God has blessed me with should I be keeping and hanging on to? You see the difference? We get wrapped up in saying, oh, I have to give to the church again. I have to give to that guy. Preacher told me I got to give 10%. We get all wrapped up in those kind of feelings when we could really say, God in heaven, thank you. Thank you for this good job I've had. My farm has been good. My family has been healthy. I'm going to continue to be faithful to you, at least to the level of the tithe, because you have blessed me with all this anyway. It may be a better question that we ask of ourselves, how much of the goodness that God has blessed me should I just go ahead and keep, instead of how much do I have to give? But preacher, I've heard I can't afford to tithe. For which I reply simply, prayerfully consider these verses and get together with God and see what He puts on your heart. God, who created the universe and the spoken word, can supply your needs. When we are trusting and faithful to Him, He can, does, and will supply your needs. And so 10% of the gross or 10% of the net, you're going to have to decide that with God. I know what it is for me. Is 10% enough? You're going to have to decide that with God. I know people personally, and I've read about others in America that are part of the 50 Club. You heard of that? Anybody heard of the 50 Club? They give 50% of their income to the Lord. 50%. And they do it joyfully. And so, sometimes we got to ask ourselves, is 10% enough? And lastly, let me say this. Is our faith in the money or the Creator and the King of the universe? He's the one that has blessed us anyway. And so, let me challenge you with that last question and just submit to you that as you purpose in your heart, that's 2 Corinthians, as you purpose in your heart what God has favored you with and blessed you with, you then can be a blessing to others. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the concept of the tithe. Thank you for the idea of first fruits giving. Thank you, gracious God, for blessing us. We are blessed. To be sure, we are blessed. Thank you, Father. Help us to be a blessing to others. Help us to be faithful to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.